Creep It Real, the Alaskan podcast about the paranormal, fitness, and other favorite topics with your host, Jesse Desmond. Welcome to Creep It Real. I'm Jesse Desmond coming at you from the Golden Heart City, Fairbanks, Alaska. Before we really begin with the urban legends that I would like to share with you, I want to acknowledge that I did have kind of a brief break from the podcast. In that space of time, I went camping and I've been working on getting into a new gym schedule, which is pretty intense. As you know from before, if you've been listening, I'm trying to like get into bodybuilding and the gym is something that I really like to do all the time. And lately I've been going to the gym 5 days a week, with a goal of burning 2,500 calories at the gym. And then on top of that, doing other stuff, you know, bike riding and you know, getting out and about and that sort of thing. So I'm tired like all the time. And I just keep doing it. It's my thing. Paranormal stuff and the gym. That's what I like. So if you happen to be striving to become the best version of yourself by hitting the gym, whether you're new or something that you just like to do, but you're trying putting in different effort or something at this point, like, I fully support you. And I think I should probably, do another fitness episode at some point soon. So if you have any questions about fitness, nutrition, just having a healthy lifestyle in general and why it's applicable to the paranormal, let me know. That's something I'm going to be asking for, your thoughts, your comments, your questions. And you can always leave me an email or a Facebook comment or a Facebook message, or there's even a voicemail option through the podcast itself. All you have to do is click on, there's like a plus message kind of thing on the podcast itself. And so you can always click on that and leave a voicemail. I've also been toying around with the idea of maybe doing an episode on Kennecott Mine. And that's kind of a remote mine at this point. It's out in the Copper River Valley. And while it does have its ghosts, there's some things that don't really jive with me in regards to the actual history of the place. And I've heard that there's been, people have taken photos of UFOs in that area. So I'll try and dig up at least one of those if I can. And people have claimed to have heard and seen Bigfoot in that area. So I have some thoughts going around in my head. So I'll put that on Facebook as well. And I'll take any comments and questions and info that you may have. If there's anything else that you want me to cover, send me a message on Facebook or send me an email or something. And all that's going to be in the podcast description. There's so many ways you can get in touch with me. So go ahead and do that. And we will get the ball rolling on some more really cool episodes. And I guess before we begin yet again, I am working with a group that's, we're from all over the state, and we don't have a name. We don't have like a group name or anything at this point, but we are going on different excursions. So, I will have another podcast out next week, and then the week after that, the week of, I think Friday is the 19th that week. I will be like out in the middle of nowhere on our first excursion. So, I might not have a podcast that week, but I don't know. I will talk to the group and see when I can do a podcast about the excursions. And we just have to, we're kind of keeping things a little hush hush at this point until we maybe find something really cool to share. So, stay tuned for that. We're going to cut into a commercial break real quick, and then I'll come back and I have 10 urban legends for Alaska, and they don't all revolve around the interior. Most of them do, but that's because those are the ones that I know. So, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a second. Hey, okay, we're back. Like I said before, I have 10 Alaskan urban legends to share with you. Before we get started, I know that I usually tell you what I'm drinking tonight, or because it's nighttime when I'm doing this podcast. I have a mixture of yerba mate and homegrown mint leaves that I have dehydrated. So just kind of toss those together. So it's like minty yerba mate. It's pretty good. It's kind of light and aromatic, and I like it. Okay, so let's dive into these urban legends. First off, if you don't know what an urban legend is, an urban legend is kind of like, it's a story that kind of gets passed around. You can't really verify the facts, you know. It might be based on something that actually happened, but you can't really verify a whole lot in the way of these urban legends. You know, they lack names, they lack places, they lack key information that might help us find a little more about it. For the most part, I know a lot of ghost stories kind of get lumped in, and we actually have there's one that's a ghost, kind of a ghost story. The others, you know, they're kind of paranormal related. Sometimes it's a little obvious for where they stem from and stuff, so keep that in mind. You can't always verify urban legends. Sometimes you can, but you, not usually. Okay, so our first one is called The Lost City of Gold. So there's a lot of variations of this. Usually the gist of this urban legend is during the gold rush, a miner comes back to town after being out in the boonies for, you know, months, or maybe it's like the end of summer and he's coming in because winter's coming or something. And he usually over drinks or something, mentions that they came across, they were out in some remote mountainous valley, and they came across like a city of gold that was just tucked away. You know, you hear about this stuff down in like South America as well. These kind of stories, they stem from all over the state, for up here. So is there a city of gold? There might be. Some miners have actually gone out searching for some lost city of gold. If there is one, then I don't know about it. If you have heard about it, go ahead and let me know, because that's something that's interesting. I never do anything for the money, so I would just like to see it. Give me a picture or something. Okay, the next one is called Calling Charlie. This is pretty local to Fairbanks. It takes place over at Pioneer Park Civic Center. That's used to be called Alaska Land. If you haven't been here in the last 20 years, it used to be called Alaska Land. It's now Pioneer Park. The Civic Center is the round building. Also, locals sometimes refer to it as a cake building because it looks kind of like a cake with candles on it and masks. So there's a rumor that you can go in and you have to call out Charlie three times, and it's the name of an old former employee who passed away, and he loved working there, and you can ask him to appear or move something or, you know, do something to get your attention, and apparently after you call his name three times, that's when something will happen. I've never tried this. I have heard other people that have tried this and that have gotten a result. I've been in the Civic Center when it seems like almost no one's in there, and it gets a little creepy in there. You get weird airflows in there and weird cold pockets, and it wouldn't really surprise me at all if there was a ghost. I like to think that there is. I have no problem with that. I think that's pretty cool. And that's just one more aspect of, you know, that's a good reason to go over there and check it out. I think currently the Civic Center is closed for the season because there was like a structural issue that they found. So once they are able to fix that, it'll open back up again. And you can visit and try calling out for Charlie. Just remember, three times. Okay, this next one, it's pretty big. I'm not going to get too into it because I could, but I kind of want to reserve it for its own episode. So we'll go over it real briefly. There's supposed to be an ancient pyramid, or the Dark Pyramid, or the Black Pyramid, however you know it by the name. And it's supposed to be west of Mount McKinley and just about due east of just the west of the west coast of Alaska. So, you know, it's, you draw a line, you're gonna hit it somewhere around there. I think it's over, supposed to be over by what is that lake? Lake Minichimin. Let me look it up. Oops. Minchimina, that's it. Lake Minchimina. It's not at Lake Minchimina. It's kind of on, it's on that line. So it's somewhere in this range, if you will. I don't know how old it's supposed to be. I don't know if aliens built it. I don't know if people built it. All this kind of came around when Linda Moulton Howe, who runs Earth Files, and you've probably seen her on documentaries and stuff like that, and TV shows. She's an investigative reporter, and she was sent an email from an ex-military guy from up here who said that, like, in 92, when China was detonating some underground nuclear warheads, they were able to detect radio waves in Alaska from it, or ground motion or something. And anyway, there came to light that there is a pyramid underground in Alaska somewhere. And when he went to get the footage from the news station, the story as it goes is that, you know, Men in Black, the government officials, whatever, confiscated that news footage. And the news station no longer had it, and, you know, it's kind of lost. It was just lost. So, since then, since that story broke out on Earth Files, Linda Moulton Howe's gotten a bunch of other interviews with people and stuff who claim to know a little bit about it. And, you know, as it turns out, like, no one really knows where it is. It's supposed to be underground. So it's not above ground. You can't just walk out and see a pyramid. But no one really knows where exactly it is at this point. And it's kind of up to speculation. Like I said, this, I want to make this like its own episode later on. So, it's really interesting and I have a lot of information. It's just not in front of me right at the moment. I just have like some brief stuff written down. but yeah, so there's just supposed to be a pyramid, under the ground somewhere west of Mount McKinley. Go ahead and look on a map. Go ahead and research it a little bit. It's really cool. If you find anything, go ahead and send me a message or email me or something like that. Of course, all my information is in the podcast description. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. It is the Man in Black at Devil's Creek. This one came to me a couple years ago. I want to say that person's name was Susan or Suzanne or something. Anyway, she said that she was in Talkeetna and picked up the story. So Talkeetna is south of Denali, if you don't know that. Okay, so in Talkeetna, near the Susitna River, if you can find Devil's Creek. It's a real place, but you're supposed to beware if you meet a man in black. It's said that he's pure evil and haunts Devil's Creek. So if you see a man in black at Devil's Creek in Talkeetna, beware. Maybe don't follow him. Don't be enticed. This kind of reminds me a little bit of, there's an Athabaskan myth called the Foggy Man, and the Foggy Man is this river, water, lake kind of spirit. Of it shows up in the presence of a guy in a canoe or boat or of some sort, or maybe fishing on the creek or on the bank of a creek or something, and that man tries to lure you into his boat or make a trade, like a fish trade or food trade or something. And if you do that, he will drag you kind of like out into the water and drown you, or I don't know, maybe eat you out there or something. But usually there's like a weird fog bank that kind of rolls in with this weird guy. So this man in black at Devil's Creek kind of reminds me of that. Okay, well, I hope you're ready for some large creature stories. there are tales of monstrous bears. Now, they're not super popular. I mean, they're well known, but they're not frequent, I guess. They're not frequent. But if you ask any hunters, hikers, forest rangers, you know, the people who spend time out in the woods, especially if they're kind of out in the boonies and stuff, you'll probably hear about some kind of giant bear. And let's see here. So at one point there was a forest worker, who, you know, they're out doing their thing and this bear came up and started to kind of go after him, and they shot it a couple times. They shot it enough that it went down, and the bear was supposed to be 1,600 pounds and stood at least 15 feet high. So are there strange monstrous sized bears out there? Who knows? There are native legends of giant bears. You know that each tribe seems to have their own giant bear. There's also giant wolves, stories of giant wolves. You know, so it's out there. It's out there. If you do have a picture of a monstrous bear, I would like to see that. That'd be pretty cool. Okay. This next one is one of my favorites. It's The Land Before Time. This is a really old urban legend from miners, you know, from like the Gold Rush era. And they claim it's that there's an area probably down around like the Valley of 10,000 Smokes, where there's hot springs and stuff like that. And it's kind of it's almost like a self-contained ecosystem from the sounds of it. And prehistoric animals kind of roam around there. There's talk about maybe some pterodactyls as a possible culprit for Thunderbird, that sort of thing. But mostly it's mammoths. Mostly there have been mammoth sightings. Now, if you know anything about the history of mammoths, most of them were wiped out a really long time ago. But the last of them were in Alaska, and they were present as early as 2,500 years ago. So, you know, could they have survived somewhere if there was food that was really abundant and they had all the stuff that they need? I don't know how much food, you know, mammoths would need to consume, but there's a lot of area out in Alaska that no one's even been to for a really, really long time. So I like to think that this could be something that is out there, some kind of lost land kind of thing. And I'm getting visited by my puppy. Okay. I don't have treats right at the moment. Okay. So, let's see, I'm going to save that one for last. Let's talk about the government and HAARP. So, you know, let's talk about HAARP because it was government controlled. It is now, like, since I think 2015, now it's being run by the university. HAARP, it is the High Frequency Active Oral Research Program. So that's HAARP, in case you want to Google that. The Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks is now in control of it. Before, it was a joint program, so it was run by the Army, Navy, Air Force. I don't know if the Marines had anything to do with it, or the Coast Guard, but it was joint between the others, and they partnered up with the university to get students out there. It's based in Gakona, Alaska. Since the university has taken it over at this point, usually in the summer, in August, they have like a open house kind of a thing, and that's kind of cool. You get to go in, ask questions, look around. They have demonstrations. They have all kinds of stuff. And it's really cool because you get to go out and they'll show you inside one of the little, it's like a little ATCO kind of unit at the base of the big radar antenna field that they have. And it's funny, in pictures you see like the big field of all the antennas and stuff, and you don't really realize how huge it is till you get out there and they have all these ATCO units out there spaced around, and they have one ATCO unit for every four antennas, and they're just massive. They're just massive. It's really cool. So if you want to check that out, go ahead and check that out. Also, the Geophysical Institute has some really cool, they know that there's a lot of conspiracy about the HARP facility and stuff. So they kind of played up to that, and they have Area 49 logo shirts and mugs and stuff like that, which look pretty cool, actually. I haven't picked one up yet, but I keep meaning to. I just haven't done it. So HARP is a pretty controversial research facility, and it's supposed to investigate the potential for developing ionospheric enhancement technology for radio communication, surveillance, possible weather control. I think it was the Air Force had like a memorandum out that is public. You can search for it and find it online. And they actually state that they are interested in weather control through the HARP facility. And, you know, if you bring this up with like the university at this point, they're like, oh, no, they can't do that. And it's like, well, but there's some documentation here that says that that's one of the things you guys are looking into, you know? So, you know, it kind of goes back and forth. It's interesting. You can also check out, there's a book called Angels Don't Play This HARP, but HARP is spelled H-A-A-R-P, of course. It's by Nick Begich, and you can find it on Amazon. It was published a while ago. He's been on Coast to Coast AM and a number of other radio programs and stuff talking about it. I think he's even in a documentary or two discussing the HARP facility and stuff. And who knows? There a lot of people claim that they get migraines whenever the HARP facility is turned on. The HARP facility is used to control people's minds. It can disable satellites. What else? I know that it can, in fact, produce an artificial aurora. Usually it's red. They have photos. They do that quite often in the winter. The university did say that if they turn it on and there is something like a flock of birds or an airplane or something that's directly overhead, it can take out like their system. It can kind of fry their system. So I don't know. It's something to look into. There's a lot of stories out there. If you kind of go down the HARP rabbit hole as it is, you will start finding a lot of stuff. A little more of a conspiracy theory than an urban legend, because this one, you can totally find stuff on. Okay. Let's see here. I have two more. This one is the Alaska UFO base. That's right. We're supposed to have our own UFO base. And actually, it's not too far away from HARP. It's supposed to be in Mount Hays, which is pretty close to Fort Greeley. Fort Greeley is about 5 miles outside of Delta Junction. So it's in the interior here. Mount Hays is the highest mountain in the eastern Alaska range. So that's east of Denali, in case you don't know that. And so it's supposed to house like some kind of underground, like built deep into the mountain kind of base, you know, like it's essentially an underground base. And it's supposed to be kind of a joint operation between the military /government and extraterrestrials. There's a lot of people that go missing in that area. There's UFOs that get seen out that way. There's not a ton of people who live in that region, so you know, the government can do a lot more stuff without people seeing. There's just a lot of little things like that that kind of start adding up and makes you kind of wonder what all is going on. Let's see here. Okay, so I've written that. Okay, so there's a remote seer. His name is Pat Price. And he claimed that the mountain housed one of the aliens' largest bases. There's a few books out there that at this point that talk about possible UFO base in Mount Hayes, and it's all real brief. So if you go out and spend like $10 on a book, it might just be like a paragraph in there. So you can go ahead and look that up. A lot of people just kind of speculate. They ask people about it, but who knows? Let's see here. Oh, I was wrong. Now I have two more urban legends for you. Okay, so I have one that is the Alaska Triangle. It's also referred to as the Alaska Vortex. Basically, it's thought that there might be maybe like a vortex or a dimensional portal or something, or it might be an area where these dimensional portals open up, you know, like all over the place, like bloop, 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 like bubbles or something. And that could explain why people disappear so frequently without any trace. So, and this would also kind of explain some of the native myths, like the Kielut or some of the other things that are supposed to, you know, just kind of whisk people away and you never see them again and that sort of thing. There have been a lot of disappearances. Like there's the missing Douglas plane in the 40s, 72. There was a House Majority Leader named Hale Boggs. And I think he was from, I want to say Alabama, but I don't know if that's correct. He was up visiting Senator Begich. And if you know that name, it's probably because I just mentioned it for HARP. Nick Begich is one of his sons. So their Cessna plane went missing in 72 and they never were able to find any bodies and stuff, which is kind of a mystery, you know? So, I mean, there's been a lot of people that have disappeared without a trace. And that's just it's so weird. So there's always people just kind of speculate, you know? And if you're wondering, this triangle goes from Juneau to Barrow to Anchorage. That's the triangle points right there. It's kind of a strange looking triangle, and Fairbanks is kind of in the center of it. Okay. So this last one is UFO watching on Dynamite Hill. So if you are in Fairbanks and you go and you head past through North Pole down to Salcha, which is just past North Pole and Eielson Air Force Base, you can get on Johnson Road, which is a real popular road, and you can go out towards what they call Dynamite Hill, because there used to be military bunkers and dynamite storage facilities out there. So don't go walking in the woods, because you don't know if they left anything. But apparently if you find a good spot and face towards the military base, you can see UFOs landing on the back side of Eielson Air Force Base. So I haven't tried that yet. I have been out on Johnson Road, and this ties into an upcoming event that's going on this next week, June 12th, which is a Friday, from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. There's going to be a UFO and Skywatch party out on Johnson Road. If you don't notice what a UFO and Skywatch party is, Google it. Google it. these tend to be kind of like pretty chill, laid back sort of things where people just kind of gather around. They might have binoculars or a telescope. I don't really recommend a telescope at this point because it's sunny out all the time up here, but binoculars would be a good idea. Cameras, you know, bring a lawn chair, bring a cup of coffee, whatever you want. And we're going to see if we can see any of these UFOs that they keep talking about. The event is posted in the Alaska UFOs group on Facebook. So if you are interested, I will have a link in the podcast description, but you can also go on Facebook and just type in Alaska UFOs and go there, and you can find the group and join it and check out the event and stuff like that. I don't know if it's going to turn anything up. It might. If it is pouring down rain, it will probably get canceled. And this is, again, this is just like a little 2-hour meetup, and there are details and stuff on the Facebook group. Hey, you can listen to Creep It Real through anchor.fm or stream it through Spotify, Breaker, Google Podcast, Radio Public, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and now we're on Apple Podcasts. So that's pretty cool. If you can stay up to date with new episodes and look for submission calls on Facebook. If you have something to share with the podcast, whether it's a sighting or a photo, video clip, question, or whatever else, go ahead and send it in. All the contact information is listed on anchor.fm and I think through Spotify and as well as on Facebook. We're all over the place. All right, so if you are a fan of Bigfoot, check out my friend's podcast. His name is Beans Baxter, and he runs Alasquatch. It's over on Podbean. It's alasquatch.podbean.com. And of course, I always put a link to his podcast in the description. And it's over on Facebook as well. He's pretty cool. He does a lot of Sasquatch stuff out of Homer, Alaska, which is kind of down south central. Let's see here. If you are thinking about exploring Alaska, you can check out my latest book, which is a little travel book. It's called The Interior Alaska Alternative Travel Guide. That is a mouthful, but it's all about paranormal places, quirky destinations, and really cool local spots to visit throughout the interior. And that's available on Amazon. And I think you can also get a Kindle version of it, which is, I mean, duh, right? Obviously. So there's print version and a digital version. I think that's going to be it. Again, let me reiterate this from the beginning. I am going to be asking for, you know, I'm going to be doing a fitness episode coming up pretty soon. So if you have any questions or comments, whatever, go ahead and leave those for me. And I'm going to do an episode at some point on Kennecott Mine. So I am looking for information on that or photos or just weirdness that you have encountered if you have visited there. Again, check the podcast description, check Facebook. There are so many ways to contact me. All right. Well, have a good night and creep it real.